Bibles tonight. I'm going to turn to Genesis chapter 32. I'm going to jump around that chapter, and I'm going to jump around some other places and read. I really desire your prayers. This is what I felt on my heart for the past few days. I've been praying on it, seeking the Lord about it, and this is where I feel like to go. Not sure how exactly to preach it, but I want to follow the Lord's leading tonight. In chapter 32 of Genesis, in verse 6, the Bible says, "And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and herds and the camels into two bands, and said, If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saith unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. For I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." We jump down to verse 24. And it says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh." "And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him, and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Lord dealt with me on these scriptures the past few days. I read them actually a few weeks ago, but Lord really went to dealing with me on them here lately. And when it went to dealing with me on the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac, it's kind of we've heard that a lot when you read through the Bible. You read through the book of Genesis, you hear throughout Exodus and different books of the Bible, hear them talk about the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. This is a name for God in the Old Testament, but it's more than a name. It's actually a testimony to the lives of these three men, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Y'all pray for me. These allergies are messing with me. But the Lord... Lord had laid his blessing upon Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And we see that throughout the Bible. But what I really want to look at right here is where Jacob's at this time and this moment. This is before Jacob was added into this trinity of faithful followers. You have Abraham. Right now, all we have is Abraham and Isaac. Jacob is around, but his name has not been added to the list yet. But we see Jacob in a place of great distress. We know the story of where he stole his brother's birthright, and then he fled unto a foreign land to his uncle Laban, and there he labored and married two wives, and he worked there, and the Lord really blessed him there. The Lord blessed him with great multitudes of cattle and donkeys and camels, and it seems like there was some goats and sheep involved, and the Lord had really blessed Jacob there. But God told him, said, I want you to go back. Jacob was not where God wanted him to be at the time. God had given the land of Canaan to Abraham, and that was the place where he was supposed to be. And so God told Jacob, said, get back over to the land of Canaan, back to the promised land that I give unto Abraham. He said, go back there. And so Jacob is going back, and he runs into a couple of bumps along the way. He doesn't tell Laban, and Laban comes back and comes after him and wants to know why he left. But the main thing I noticed here was Jacob's fear of Esau. He heard that Esau was coming, and that he had 400 men. And we know the story about Esau. Esau was a hunter. Esau was a fighter. Esau was a big, I reckon you say in a sense, he was a big, hairy, scary-looking man. He was a large fellow. He wasn't something you wanted to pick at or poke fun at, because he would probably beat you up or something like that. But Jacob here, he heard that Esau's coming, and he's got 400 men with him. And these men, more than likely, are men that know how to fight. Just Esau himself. If he was coming by himself, Jacob would be scared. Because here it is. This is the one I cheated out of his birthright. This is the one I stole from, and I haven't ever apologized for it. He was out to kill me, and here he comes with 400 men, and surely he's going to kill me this time. And so Jacob, in a sense, is shaking in his boots. He's scared. He don't know where to go. And he starts to divide up his family, to send them out this way and that way, and say, well, if they'll get this band, if something happens and they get this part of the family, then this other family over here will be saved. And so he was trying everything humanly possible he could do to try to save his family, trying to keep Esau from getting a hold of him and his family and killing them and destroying them. And we see him crying out to God starting around verse 7. And around verse 9, he starts crying out to God. And in the beginning of his prayer, he says, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac. And he recognizes that this is the same God that moved for Abraham and moved for Isaac. He sees this here. He recognizes that God's hand was on their lives, and he recognizes that God had blessed them tremendously. If he had not recognized this, he would not have said, God of my father Abraham and God of Isaac. God had really blessed Abraham and Isaac. We see several instances where God had moved for them. They was at their very wit's end. They didn't know what to do, and God moved for them. They was in situations, and the Lord worked miracles and moved for them. And here we see Jacob call him out to the same God, because he's in a situation, and he's in a fix right now, and he needs God to move. I'm going somewhere with this. It's kind of, I'm trying to lay a foundation. I'm stringing my own self out in a sense, but I'm trying to lay a foundation here. What's going on? But Jacob is crying out to God because he sees that he needs God to move right now. He sees a need in his life for God to move. And basically, it's what he's saying right here. God, you move for granddaddy, and you move for daddy. Lord, move for me now. This is what he's saying is, God, you move for Abraham, and you move for Isaac. And Lord, I need you to move for me right now. And we see as he prayed this prayer, and he was in distress. And then he goes on, and he was left alone. The rest of the band and the families had parted had crossed Jordan, and he was left on the side of the river by himself. And there he was in the mountains, and he started wrestling with a man. And it was an angel of the Lord that had come to him, and he went to wrestling with him, and tussling and toiling. And it was. It lasted all night long, and he refused to let go, even when his thigh went out of joint. The angel touched him, and his thigh went out of joint. Jacob refused to let go, because he said, I'm not going to let go till you bless me. I need some help. I need a touch of God. I need you to move. I need God to move in my life, and I'm not going to let go until you bless me. Here we see in his prayer beforehand, he recognized his need, and he's crying out to God. And here he's crying out. He's holding on, and he's hanging on, and he's wrestling with God and saying, I'm not letting go. I'm not quitting until you bless me. I need you to move in my life. And we see where the Lord blessed him, and he helped him. And I looked at this, and I was looking at how Jacob was here, and he was looking in the past, looking at what God had done for his grandfather Abraham, and look what he'd done for his father Isaac, and look the way he had moved in their lives and how he had moved. And now he's saying, God, I need you to move in my life. God, I'm determined to have a moving of God in my life. And I see how it relates to our own lives here. We look back in the past, whether we be young or old here in this house tonight. I know it's a youth service, but let's all get in here. I think we can all get in. And I feel like this is something for all of us here. It's really helped me a lot. And the Lord's dealt with me on this. But we're looking, I see our own selves in this same place. We're looking back at grandma and granddaddy and mama and daddy and saying, God, you moved for them. Or maybe if your family wasn't in wholeness, you're looking back at the elders and saying, well, God, you moved for them. God, you've moved down the line. You moved in Azusa Street. Lord, you moved in our old camp meetings, God. But Lord, I need you to move now. I need a moving in my life. I need an experience with you that's going to last with me. Oh, I need you to move, God. We see this need. We have this need in our own lives. I've experienced this need many a time in my life. I come to our camp meeting with a need. God, I need you to move in my life. I need you to move. But we recognize our need. Oh, we need God to move in our lives. We can look back at things in the past. We hear stories of great miracles. We look in the Bible of how God used people in a miraculous way. We look all through the book of Acts, and there's testimonies of God's greatness and God's goodness. But there's more than just that. We can look just a few years back, 100 years back, and see and hear testimonies of God's goodness and His mercy and how He can move. We look just 50 years back, and we can see testimonies of how God has moved and how God has blessed and how God has brought people through the fire. We look back 10 years ago, and we still hear testimonies. But what we're needing today is to hear a testimony from our own lives, is to have our own testimony, to be able to say, God has brought me through this place, to be able to say, God has moved for me, to be able to see I have an experience with God that no man can take away from me, unlike I've ever had before. We need an experience of God in this day, in this hour. We look around us and sin is at hand in a great and mighty way. Things are seems to be going down all around us where we're staying. Things going down all around us. And we need God to move in this day and hour. We need God to move in our lives. And we need an experience that goes beyond the ordinary, that goes beyond anything we've ever seen, everything we've ever experienced. We need a Holy Ghost moving in our lives. We need God to move unlike He's ever moved before. And Jacob is looking back here and he's saying, God, I remember hearing Abraham talk about how when Lot was captured. Well, first of all, let's start off at the beginning. When you called him out of his father's house when he was in the land of Ur, and then him, they moved to I think it was Haran, and then he called him out of his father's house and said, come to a land I've promised you, and Abraham left and went on a leap of faith. He left. No, they didn't know what was beyond the next hill. They didn't know what was going on. They didn't have satellites. They didn't have maps back. Well, they had crude maps back then, but they didn't have satellites, they didn't have radios or telephones to tell what was going to be on the next hill or to call up some relatives over there, but they just left. God said to leave, and they just left and went out, and God moved for them and prospered them and blessed them here. And we see, and Jacob sits there and he thinks about God. I remember the time Abraham told me about the time Lot got captured. Lot got took hostage, and Abraham got together and got him up a small army, and they went and took Lot back out, and it looked like the odds was against him, but God, you blessed him and you brought him through it. I heard Granddaddy talk about that. I heard Abraham talk about that. Oh, and God, I know how you brought my father Isaac, how it was impossible for them to have a child, but he was a child of promise, and you brought him, and that he come out. And God, then I think about Daddy Isaac, how he was to be sacrificed. Oh, God, you told Abraham to sacrifice him on the altar. And then they got there to the mountain, and God provided a ram. Lord, you provided a ram. And he was right there. You provided for that time. And in other times in his life, you've provided for him. And God, I need you to move right now. Lord, you see the distress I'm in. You see what's going on around me. Lord, I need you to move right now in my life. Jacob needs God to move in a mighty way, in a desperate way, much like what we're here today. We may not realize just how desperate things are in a sense. We need God to move right now. We need God to move in this day and hour. We need Him to be more full of the Holy Ghost than we've ever been before. We need to live more sanctified than we've ever lived before. We have got to have a move of God. We have got to have a deeper experience with God. If we stay where we're at, we'll get content. Jacob could have ignored God and said, well, I've got everything I need right here in Laban's house, and I can just stay here, and I can live here and live pretty good. And he could have done that, and he could have stayed there, and he might have would have lived fine. He might have lived well, but God's blessing wouldn't have been upon him. He wouldn't have gotten nowhere near what he had gotten what he got when he left. Excuse me. Oh, we can choose to sit here and stay here. But eventually, if you stay in one place, you'll just stagnate like water just sitting in a place. If water sits in a pot very long, it just gets stagnant. And then things start growing in it. And skeeters start growing in it. And this just gets nasty. And nobody really wants to do anything with it then. And it's the same way with our lives. If we just stay and sit in the same place over and over again, time and time again, it'll get stagnant. We'll get cold and indifferent. And it'll get harder and harder to get into a service. But we need God to move right now. Though we need Him to move. I reckon you say, stick a spoon down in us and stir us up. Not just stir us, but just change out the water that's in us. To change it all out. We need God to move in our lives. We need to get up from where we're at and seek God. And get determined in our hearts to have a moving of God. To have an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. To have a deeper experience in God. That's one thing I've thought about with this scripture here talking about Jacob wrestling with the angel of God. I think about that song, I Would Not Be Denied, many times. I sing that song to myself a lot of times. That's helped me get through a lot of hard times, was that song, I Would Not Be Denied. And I think about it in a verse, it says, like Jacob in the days of old, I wrestled with the Lord. That's what kind of determination we've got to have. Jacob had a determination so strong that he wrestled with God. That he said, I'm not letting go until you bless me. Church, we've got to get a determination that says, I'm not letting go until you bless me, Lord. That I'm not going to let go until I can get a deeper experience with you. Until I can feel the power of the Holy Ghost on me. Until I can get anointed. We need to latch a hold of God and to hang on. And I reckon you say in a sense, wrestle with Him. Wrestle with Him in prayer. And seek after God and say, Lord, I'm not letting go until you bless me. Whether it's salvation or whether it's sanctification or whether it's the baptism of the Holy Ghost or maybe you just need a deeper experience in God. Maybe it's a healing. Whatever your need is, we need to get determined to latch a hold to God and say, God, I ain't letting go until you bless me. Lord, I've got a determination to hang on to you and to not let go until you bless me. Oh, we're in a desperate time. We need God to move. We need God to move like He's ever moved before. We need Him to move in our lives. If you need sanctification, you need God to move now. If you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you need God to move now. And if you need a healing, you need God to move now. We need God to move right now in this day and hour. And we need Him to move in a mighty way. We need to latch a hold to Him and to wrestle with God and not let go. Get determined like Jacob was determined and not let go of Him. And say, God, I'm not letting go. Even if you touch me and it throws my thigh out of joint, if it causes me pain, Lord, I'm not letting go until I get a blessing, until I get what I need, until I get what you've got for me. The Lord has promised these things unto us. The Lord had a whole basket full, a whole truckload of promises for blessings for Jacob. He had a whole lot of blessings for Jacob, just as He does for us in this day and hour. There's many blessings He has for us. I see different... I call it the basic three, salvation, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Three of the greatest blessings you could ever have. That's a major blessing to me. It's a major miracle to me that God can take a nasty, stinking sinner and change him into something beautiful and glorious that can live a holy life, sanctified unto God and full of the Holy Ghost. It's a wonderful thing. It's a great miracle. It's a great blessing to be called a child of God. And God wants us to have these blessings. He's got these blessings in store for us. And there's more beyond that. There's more beyond that. I one time thought that was all there was to it. And I just sat there. And like, what more could there be? But I have found out in this way, in my few small years of being in holiness and being saved. It's not been very long that I've got saved. But being the short time I have been saved, I've come to realize there's more to it than just getting saved and sanctified and full of the Holy Ghost and sitting around, but we need to plunge in deeper. We need to dig in deeper. We need to latch on harder and pray harder and seek God harder and get and have God move in our lives because He will bless us. The Lord wants to help us. The Lord wants to bless us. He's got it for us. I already thought about it before Brother Daniel said it in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, verse 39. And Peter is addressing, admonishing the onlookers on the day of Pentecost. He said, "It's unto you, and to your children, and to your children's children, and even to them who are afar off. It's for us. That's a promise right there. That's for us. It's the Holy Ghost. But the Lord wants to bless us in a mighty way. The Lord wants to help us. But we're here in a distressed time. We're here in a place of distress. We're here, and we're looking for God to move." And we're looking at back how He moved in the elders' times, how He moved for you, Brother J.L. It's like me standing here saying, I see, Lord, how You moved for Brother J.L. Lord, I see how You moved for Brother Byron and Brother Joy. But, Lord, I need You to move right now for me, God. Lord, I need you to move right now for me. I need you to move in my life in a mighty way. You see what I'm up against, God. You see what I'm facing, Lord. You see what I need in my life, God, and I need you to move in my life. Oh, the doubt was probably all over Jacob's mind. The devil was probably sending thoughts of doubt into his mind, saying, God, move for them, but he can't move for you. Oh, you're just going to get this eaten up by your brother Esau. He's just going to destroy you. Wipe out your family. Wipe out everything you've got. You're not going to have nothing left here. And he's going to kill you and also. And Jacob was scared. I'm sure the devil was there. And usually when there's a time of distress, the devil's somewhere around it somewhere. And he was there poking and prodding Jacob, I do believe, and saying, look at this. This is going to happen, or this is going to happen. But Jacob said, I want you to move, God. You move for them. Lord, you can move for me. I see how you move for them. I've heard the stories and the testimonies of how you move for Abraham and Isaac. Lord, and I want you to move for me right here in this situation. And I know you can move for me because you move for them. Young people, I want to tell you tonight that God can move for you just like he's moved in the lives of our elders. God can move for us just like he's moved in the lives of those in the Bible. But we have to yield ourselves unto God. We have to live sold out to God and committed to God. We have to be under the blood, and we have to be living for the Lord. Lord, the Lord can move for us just as he moved for Elijah, just as he moved for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He can move for us, but we've got to get a hold of him. We've got to pray and seek his face with everything that's in us, with our whole hearts, just as Jacob here. His whole heart had to be in wrestling this angel. If his whole heart wasn't in it, he would have given up long before daybreak. He wrestled all night long with that angel. Just think of that. You're wrestling all night long, and you're not getting anywhere. It just seems like you're fighting. And you just can't seem to get what you're exactly needing. And he was wrestling with this angel all night long. If his whole heart hadn't been in it, he'd give up by 9 o'clock more than likely. If he started at dark, he'd give up by 9 o'clock if his whole heart wasn't in it. And he had to put his whole heart into this. He had a determination that would not let him let go. And he had his whole heart into getting this blessing from the Lord. And he held on. And it says he held on until daybreak. And then the angel was ready to, he was like, I got to go. I got to get out of here. And Jacob said, I ain't letting go till you bless me. And the angel blessed him here because Jacob had his whole heart in this thing, was really seeking God, was seeking after that he was needing, and was seeking after a blessing from God. And the Lord saw fit to bless him. This is just really caught my attention here. About how God moved. Jacob was so desperate for God to move, and how God moved in his life. We see later on, we look on into the scripture, I believe it's in chapter 33. Yeah, that's where it's at, chapter 33. We see where Jacob was standing there, and here comes Esau with those 400 men. I can't imagine what it looked like. I've seen pictures of what it looks like with people coming across the desert on a bunch of camels. That's an interesting sight. So it can put some fear in you if you don't know what's ahead. If you see some swords shining, if you see some dust flying behind them, and they're running in there on them camels, and it's a scary looking thing. It looks like a bunch of terrorists coming in. But you see that coming at you, and that's probably what Jacob was sitting here looking at. Well, here comes these big old men riding on camels, and there's dust flying behind them, and they got swords hanging all over them, and there's knives, and they haven't washed in 3 weeks, and they're just some bad dudes right here. This is a bad situation, and there he stands right there. And then Esau jumps off his camel and comes over there to him, and he hugs Esau, and they start weeping, and things are all right between them, and God has moved in this situation, and everything's all right, and Esau's not wanting to kill Jacob anymore. Esau wants Jacob to come back and to stay in the land with him. And the Lord has moved in this situation. The Lord moved for Jacob here. Jacob's family was all right. Jacob's possessions was all right. Everything he had was fine. And the Lord prospered Jacob and blessed him even more because he was in obedience to God. And he done what he was supposed to do. If we'll seek God, he'll move for us. It may seem like we have to seek him all night long. It may seem like it's just it's more than we can handle. It may seem like God's placed his hand on our thigh and our thighs come out of joint. And it's just a hard thing. We're really seeking out, but it's a painful experience. And it's late in the night and we can't really seem to get what we're needing. But if we just hang on to God, if we just keep on pressing in and keep on wrestling and keep on praying and keep on pushing and put our whole heart into getting a hold of God and get a determination like we've ever had, God will bless us in the end. God will move and bless us. Lord, bless Jacob here. He blessed him. We look in Exodus chapter 3, verse 6. And Moses is standing at the burning bush. He is watching his father-in-law's sheep out in the desert of Midian. And here he sees the burning bush, and he comes up to it. And this is on down into the speech of the bush, or the Lord speaking out of the bush. And in verse 6 of chapter 3 says, "Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And we see now that Jacob is listed in this group of faithful followers. We see Jacob listed now in this group of three. We look in Hebrews in the Faith Hall of Fame, and he's considered one of the patriarchs. Just a few minutes ago, we saw him as a young man, deep in distress, scared and didn't know where to turn, needed God to move for him. And he was wrestling with God with a determination to get it with the blessing that he needed. And he got his blessing. And we see now that he's listed now with his father and his grandfather and the three of the faithful. And we see in Hebrews 11 where they talk about him being a patriarch and talking about them following after the Lord. And it's because of his determination, because he sought God, and because he served God, and he sought God with the determination. He was willing to get a hold of God and do what it takes to get a hold of him is why he's listed here. Now, I want to admonish you that we can have this same blessing. We can be listed right up there with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If we'll serve God, if we'll live for the Lord, if we'll stand for Him, if we'll get in and serve Him with a determination like we've ever had, if we'll clutch a hold of God, I reckon you say, just grab a hold of Him and get determined, Lord, I'm going to serve You no matter what. Lord, I need You to bless me right now. Lord, I need You to move in my life. I need You to anoint me. Lord, I need You to move in my life. I need a deeper experience in You. The Lord will move for us, and the Lord will help us, and it will be a blessing to us. The Lord's not going to withhold any good thing from us. Excuse me. The Lord wants to bless us. The Lord wants to help us. He can do exceeding and above that which what we can ask or think. It's an amazing thing, this God we serve. He is amazing. He is everything. He is the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. And if He can be the God of those three, He can be our God also. He can serve us. We can serve Him, and He can help us along the way. He'll bless us, and He'll go with us. He said in His Word, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." What a wonderful promise to have. What a wonderful promise to have. And we look, and Jacob, he didn't have the New Testament. They didn't have all this. They just went off of what God was speaking to them at the time. But yet he could still serve God. Isaac and Abraham could still serve God like they did, with a faithfulness and with a commitment and with a determination. And we can do the same thing. They didn't even have the Bible then, and yet they could still do it. And we have the Bible with us. We have something. We have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost moved on them, but there wasn't really an indwelling of the Holy Ghost. They didn't have the blood of the Lamb, and yet they still lived faithful unto God. And how much more opportunity, how much more ability do we have to live faithful to God and determined to serve God? It's a wonderful thing serving the Lord. It's a great thing serving the Lord. It's a great privilege to serve the Lord. Excuse me. And the Lord will help us no matter what you're needing, no matter where you're at. The Lord, if you'll cry out to God, if you'll diligently seek the Lord, He will come and help you. Now, let's stand tonight. If you're needing the Lord to move in your life tonight, I don't know what your needs are here tonight. I don't know what's going on in your life. I just prayed, God, let me help somebody tonight. If you've got a need in your life tonight or something you need God to move in, I want to tell you this altar is open here tonight. This altar is open. The Lord wants to help you if you'll get a hold of God and if you'll seek God with a determination and put your whole heart into it. He will help you. He will come by and He will touch you. And you got to get a determination. Serve the Lord. You may be in a place of distress. You may be in a place where you can't see no way out. You may be like Job and say, I looked to the left and looked to the right. I looked in front of me and behind me, and yet I still don't see God anywhere. But God is still there. And start seeking Him. If you'll really wrestle with God, I reckon you say in a sense, He will come by and He'll bless you. I don't know how long it'll take. I've wrestled with God for a long time in some situations before and still haven't seen the blessing that I really wanted to see. But I can tell you this, He will move regardless of if we ever see it or not. He will move and help us. If we see it immediately, I believe we will see it. But if we don't see it immediately at the time we pray for it, I believe He will still move for us. Y'all, let's all come in and pray tonight.